Hey guys, Tom Laird, voice of advice from a call center geek, CEO at Expedia. Hey, the podcast is brought to you by Expedia Interaction Marketing. We are a 600-seat call center outsourcer. I would love to talk to any of you looking to outsource any of your customer support or your sales functions, looking for political calling or just some extra overflow during the holiday season. If you are looking for any type of USA outsourcing support, hit me up. You guys know my LinkedIn. I'd love to talk.
This is Advice from a Call Center Geek, a weekly podcast with a focus on all things call center. We'll cover it all from call center operations, hiring, culture, technology, and education. We're here to give you actionable items to improve the quality of yours and your customers' experience. This is an evolving industry with creative minds and ambitious people like this guy. Not only is his passion call center operations, but he's our host. He's the CEO of Expedia Interaction Marketing Group and the call center geek himself, Tom Laird.
Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Advice from a Call Center Geek, the call center contact center podcast. So we try to give you some actionable items to take back into your contact center to improve the overall center, improve the agent experience, improve the customer experience as well. My name is Tom Laird. I am the CEO of Expedia Interaction Marketing. Expedia is a 500-seat call center outsourcer located here in northwestern Pennsylvania. I hope everybody's doing well. We are 3 days away from the Christmas holiday. No jokes today, no nothing. I'm going to jump right into the podcast and the episode today. I think we have a very special episode. We've been pretty selective on the guests that we've had here on The Geek, and I think that the guests that we'll have today will be able to really give some really cool and unique insights into customer experience and the future of what's coming, and also, you know, maybe some behind the scenes on what it looks like to operate a really large retail online sales operation. So with me today, which I'm super excited about, is Jimmy Budnick. Jimmy is the VP of Customer Care and CRM at Overstock.com. Jimmy, welcome to Advice from a Call Center Geek.
Thanks, Tom. This is really exciting to be here. So I'd love to, if you don't mind, if I just kick off and share a little bit about myself for those of the call center geeks who haven't met me before.
That'd be great. Please do.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm a bit of a what I'll call a transplant call center geek. I started off as an industrial engineer, so really in that kind of manufacturing logistics world before coming to Overstock. And really early on, I was asked to work on reverse logistics and returns. And that was my first exposure to the customer care team at Overstock. And they were really impressive. They were up there in the top 10, top five of some big national awards. So really proud to work near them. But over the last, I've been at Overstock just over 12 and a half years. I didn't join the customer care team until 3 years ago. So over the first 9 years, I really spread my experience between merchandising, marketing, some of the technology teams, really building a 360 view of what e-commerce retail looks like. And then I was just super fortunate enough that about 3 years ago, the senior vice president, who was both over the merchandising team that I was working on, I was building a marketplace program, was also over customer care. And he tapped me on the shoulder and gave me this great opportunity to come over to join the team. And on one side, I got to learn a lot. I got to learn a lot from my directors, who are those tenured experienced call center experts. But also I was able to teach a lot because I brought in this experience from the other departments within retail. And I think that's one of the real needs in call centers today is to understand the whole business, not just the contact center business. And it's been an exciting 3 years. Just in the past, I'd say 2 to 3 months, I've been expanding my role to take on CRM and understanding the customer from a data perspective, but also from like a personalization experience, not just in CS, but across all channels of the business. So yeah, it's just been really exciting. It's been a tremendous 2020, and you know, Christmas is only days away. So excited to see that happen.
No, hey, I appreciate that. And I guess I don't want to say for full disclosure, but you know, you and I met, we were both on the Nice in Contact Customer Council. And I was just always impressed. You know, it's really cool to hear somebody that I think has a unique background like you do, and the insights that you can give, not only again from a customer experience standpoint, but to understand the kind of the inner workings of the business, which is so important, really with a lot of organizations today. So to get into this, and I think we can kind of maybe go into that type of question is, You know, I think a lot of interesting things happen, you know, around the holidays with retail. And I know we're kind of getting to the end of the kind of the sales cycle and probably more to the service end now. But can you just talk briefly on what it looks like and when you guys start to staff up for the holidays and what the kind of behind the scenes of that looks like from the customer care service team?
Yeah, that's a great question. So at Overstock, we're working really closely with the marketing, merchandising team, our forecasting, planning team, to try our best to predict the future and to predict what that, we're calling it the Cyber Five, because it really starts with Thanksgiving, goes all the way mm-hmm. through Cyber Monday. And what are those days going to look like? And as you alluded to, with our customer care team, those days are big for us. There's a lot of traffic, a lot right. of volume, but it really drags out into the week after when people are tracking their orders and their deliveries into the season of returns and then post-gift giving returns. So the customer care team has the most elongated of the peak season in the entire business at Overstock. So for us to prepare for that, we're really looking at September, hiring people on, and we want to get as many people hired on in September, finishing training in October. So they have at least 30 days under their belt of becoming comfortable in their own skin, comfortable on that phone call or whatever channel they're operating in, leading into those peak days. One of the things that I think differentiates us from a lot of other retailers is we don't consider this a seasonal workforce. We're not ramping up people with a quick training just to get them proficient in one or two things. We genuinely expect and hope anyone who shows up in that September class, they're all welcome to stay here for the next 10 years.
Gotcha.
We hold them accountable, you know, to attendance policy, to ethical behavior. You know, we're holding them accountable. But for those who want a career and to be a part of the family, the door is always open from that first day. They're welcomed in. And during that time frame, yeah, we need the extra staffing on a Black Friday, Cyber Monday, and all the way up until right now, where our peak concern is about will it be delivered by Christmas. And as we approach that January timeframe when it slows down, we ask the team, and we do this through a lot of transparency and candor, we need voluntary time off. We need unpaid time off to balance the hours off while natural attrition brings the staffing down over time. And Overstock's primarily in the home goods business, and we're really driven by Black Friday and Cyber Monday, but we're also driven by a President's Day, a Memorial Day, a Labor Day. All those big federal holidays drive sales, and we need this surplus staff to address the next big sale. And we really just maintain our staffing levels throughout those major sales throughout the year. And I feel like this builds a lot of trust with the call center that they know that the people who are being welcomed into the family are for real a part of the family on day one.
Jimmy, let me ask you this too, because I see it in our center. And, you know, before you hopped on, you know, just, you know, we were having a little conversation on, we have a couple retail clients. I mean, obviously not the size of Overstock, but we see, you know, leading up to maybe after Black Friday, there's a big retail demand, right? So, and I guess Overstock's a little bit different, but how do you see the changes in the call types, right? So from a sales aspect to maybe a service aspect to, you know, like you just said, people are checking their packages now. Are there specific trainings that you do? Is that an all-encompassing? Do you have specific teams for that? How does that kind of work?
Yeah, so we do we call them our Q4 refresher trainings, our holiday refreshers, to walk through that cadence of the calls. Granted, on any given day, any given customer can call about whatever they want. That's the roulette wheel of the phone ringing.
Right.
But we know that on the day of the big sales, they're going to be calling us about the discounting, the coupon, finding a product being sold out because they just weren't quick enough. So we make sure the team is astutely aware of that. But we want to make sure that going into, let's say, the Tuesday after Cyber Monday, that everyone remembers you're still going to have those shoppers, still people buying Christmas gifts, but they're very quickly going to say, I shipped all my presents to my aunt's house. I forgot to change the address, right? How do we answer that question? How do we contact UPS? So moving more towards that transportation side, we'll see those contacts change. And I would say the sense of urgency picks up as we go through the holiday season. I often, when it's non-COVID, like to walk around the call center, and I find it funny with the new hires to see them on a Black Friday because they're like, everyone's so happy. I'm like, yeah, right. they're spending all the money right now.
Right.
So the anxiety builds up as you start getting those orders shipping. And as you approach it, for us, it was last Monday was our official ground cutoff where we started saying, you have to order it now to definitely get it by Christmas. those customers are the ones who will be contacting us throughout this week, really trying to confirm, is it going to be there? Is it going to be there on time? What's going to happen if it's not? We have no extra information besides what UPS has. So at that point, we are there to be an agent of comforting and information. We can't change much about that box that's in the UPS truck. But empathy and supporting the customer through that experience is really critical.
That's awesome.
It really does transition into people who are returning. And hopefully we can save the sale with a replacement purchase to kind of back that up.
Right. No, I think that's really good insights. And I know I want to get into, you know, some of the technology things that you guys are doing. And I know the listeners are really interested in that. But just, you know, real quick to maybe bridge into there. Have you seen, you know, a kind of a change in the overall demographics of your customer base? Is there any change in seasonality? Have you seen an overall trend going to more digital, more chat? How does Overstock kind of view, I guess, the future when it comes to what customers are asking for from a service channel perspective? And then maybe we can get into some of the technologies that you guys would like to are employing now and are going to be looking to employ.
Definitely. And you're hitting at the heart of my call center geekiness. And this is why I share the role with CRM. We're trying not to look specifically at demographics as just the age of the customer. Mm-hmm. But the behaviors and maybe some of the stereotypes. So are they more likely to call on a phone or to use a digital solution? We are seeing a substantial change in that. Yes, it is to a large degree driven by millennials. And even now, Gen Z is starting to enter the workforce. But as we're seeing many people buying their first homes and those major life events, they're coming to us and more their expectation of what white glove service, what white glove experience is, isn't the concierge moment of talking to someone on the phone. It is really having the answer in the application already there. It is the self-service functionality. I would never think of calling up Google and asking them why I wasn't getting a search result that I wanted, right? We are training people that technology is the solution. And as working for a pure play e-commerce company, we have to believe in technology. Technology is what we do. So we're seeing a bigger and bigger focus on customers who want to check their tracking status, set up their return, order a replacement part through the self-service functionality. And it's my obligation as the leader to invest in that technology and to double down on it and make sure we have as many of those options open. Beyond that, we're also seeing that channel type question. More and more people are adopting, and we launched this about 3 years ago. We launched the SMS channel, but we also tied into that Apple Business Chat, Google RCS, RBM, to allow people to use kind of that messaging platform as a way of communicating, which definitely steers towards a younger generation.
Right.
And as this is among call center experts, it's beautiful because it's asynchronous. And that's beautiful in two directions. From a staffing standpoint, I don't need an agent answering within 2 seconds. So I can balance out the workload amongst the employees. But it's even better from a customer experience standpoint, because the way people live their lives right now, the idea of freeing up a half hour to be on the phone trying to get a problem solved, they'd much rather just send a message and walk into a meeting, send a message, get in their car, and to communicate on their own cadence and their own time frame. So it's one of those beautiful like technology moments where like it saves you money, it works better for the employees, and it's something that the customers really appreciate. So we're continuing to learn and invest in that world a lot.
Yeah, and I think that's always been the, you know, that's been the pickle, right? You know, because, you know, you go back looking at the old, you know, hey, we're going to do the IVR. We're not going to need any agents anymore. Well, found out that the customer experience with that, with a poorly run IVR, and that's a pretty basic example, is just, you know, it really didn't meet the bridge of that, right? Of the self-service model that really works. So, you know, I'm excited too. And I know, you know, a lot of listeners and I get a lot of, you know, requests for even episodes and more information. I think that's one of the reasons I wanted to have you on exactly kind of that topic. Just to, before I get into, you know, some of the technologies that maybe you guys are going to be looking at, because I think that's super interesting from a company like yours. But I would be remiss if I did not ask you how COVID has affected you guys what you guys have done to kind of maybe from a work from home standpoint, or you know, how that has affected even the call types and the different types of channels that are coming in. You know, how has COVID really just had an effect on Overstock?
It's been a transformational year, and I don't know how else to put it. So if we could roll back time and look at April and March, we had a lot of plans in the work, a lot of, you know, priorities. And as soon as the lockdown happened, the best way I look at it is all of America, the entire society, the role of their home transformed for them. Their home became this sanctuary, this haven, this safe place. It also functionally became their classrooms, their offices, retail transitioned from brick and mortar to e-commerce. So being at the nexus of selling home goods on e-commerce, within hours, within days, our business doubled in growth. And it's great that we have a website that could double in growth without missing a beat. You know,
right. Technology
is built for that stuff. There were no lines at a cashier, right? Like we could do that. But what couldn't scale instantly was the global supply chain. So getting the products to the warehouses having social distance, and the transportation and delivery of the products. So a lot of those operations really struggled, and being the call center to support that was one challenge. But on the other hand, we would need to double the number of agents that we had. And it was a really hard time to be interviewing and hiring people during that March, April timeframe, finding people who were ready and able to work from home. We've never done a virtual training before, so we had to figure out how to do Zoom training. The best story that I will carry with me throughout this experience was the day that the CEO and president of Overstock said, everyone must go home. It's a safety issue. We're going to work from home. I was asked by Dave Nielsen, our president, what will this mean for CS? And I said, I have faith in my team. Give me 3 days. I'll get them packed up out of the building. And over the course of those 3 days, I'll get everyone's computer set up. I'll get them answering calls. We'll dig ourselves out of whatever hole we're in with our queues. In 3 days, I'll be looking much better. 3 days later, he checks in on me, says, how bad is it? And I had to say I was a liar. I was a sandbagger. The team never fell a step behind. Because
that's awesome.
The first agent who got home and got their laptop turned on and logged on said, I'm not going to work 8 hours today. I'm going to work 14 hours today. I'm going to work 16 hours today, because they knew their friend couldn't log on. They knew they were having trouble. And the next one and the next one. And each person got the back of their partner. And they were able to keep up with the demand as our sales were growing through the roof. And as we were shutting everything down, like we didn't skip a beat then. And it wasn't really until the stimulus check hit and sales started growing like wildfire, which is great as a business, and we did run into trouble with our outsourcing because we're based out of Bangalore there. The entire city shut down. That was when we started losing ground from a staffing standpoint. And we spent much of the summer adapting and hiring to catch up. We opened up additional call centers in Guatemala and Manila to try to accomplish this. But what Overstock does and what maybe differentiates us from a lot of other businesses is we pulled most of the analysts in the building into a room and said, what is the problem and what is the solution? And the answer can't be hire more people. And we pulled the dev teams and the product managers into the room and said, what is the problem? What is the solution? And we found new ways to automate and new ways to offer self-service, new ways to bulk address concerns. And that ability to release the pressure through technology is quite literally the only way we ever caught back up. And we came out of August well-staffed, looking super confident going into the holiday season. So even that initial question about the holiday staffing, we were coming in at, you know, jet burner speed into the holiday, that staffing wasn't our biggest fear. It was the unknown of everything was our biggest concern.
Right.
But really, we went through a solid, you know, day after day of Black Friday type sales for months, that it really hardened us, not from a negative standpoint, but from a strengthening standpoint, to performance and to looking at the numbers and to technology and automation. So I wouldn't have wanted it to happen the way it happened. I wish we could have had some notice and planning for it, but super proud of the team and the company as the whole. And I will say I spent time on hold with various other, with call centers, Delta and others. The call center community really bonded around each other. I know you specifically helped out with California 411, which was really important. Or 211. I got all my 11s confused.
No, you're good.
But I did appreciate the call center community coming together, and even some of the conversations that I had with you just about how do we take care of people when they're at home and they're isolated. I think that's the other moment that's really meant a lot to me is the bonding of us all going through this together as a community.
Well, dude, you can hear the passion in your voice with that. I think it is. It's a kind of an interesting moment that we will never forget. But I think the two things that just stood out of you talking to me through this is one, the culture that you guys have done obviously is awesome, right? To have the reps be able to, you know, basically have, hey, I understand there's an issue here and we're going to do everything we possibly can. That's not everywhere, right? That is absolutely something that you should be extremely proud of. And I think that the next piece, and maybe the last piece in here that I want to get into is the technology piece. Obviously, you know, I mean, everybody knows that I use Nice in Contact, that, you know, you and I kind of use that platform, which has really helped us to, you know, become pretty flexible, but it's beyond just the telephony platform, right? I mean, it's the self-service model. It's the integrations. It's, you know, all the things that I'm sure you guys have done to make sure that, you know, things kind of kept going. And, you know, when you go through these pain points, right, you do come out on the other side. If you handle it, you are a much stronger organization. And I think as the call center industry as a whole can probably, you know, would probably cheer to that and say, you know what, you know, that's kind of where most call centers are at as well. Having said all that, and that was an awesome, you know, that was really interesting stuff there. What technologies do you see? Maybe Overstock doesn't have them in place now, but whether it's, you know, real-time transcription or dialogue flows, or where do you see, maybe not even Overstock, but let's start with Overstock, but then industry as a whole from a technology standpoint, you know, maybe in the next, you know, 2 to 3 years, or maybe even a year from now for the next 3 years, what are some of the things that are piquing your interest and maybe some of the things that Overstock are looking at as well?
Yeah. So the first area, and I'll give the almost generic answer, because it is going to be artificial intelligence, machine learning, natural language. It's that level of computer science that's going to drive it. I'm excited personally, most of all, to see the impact of natural language and sentiment analysis and turning the spoken word into data and meaning. Because as I said, I'm an industrial engineer by background. So I'm thinking like manufacturing, right, quality checking, and how do you really get 100% quality? How do you really know what's happening? And how do you understand emotions and humanity? So I'm really fascinated about the way science is going to understand people and how we can apply that to the call center to both improve the agent, the employee customer interaction, but even more so, how can I funnel that into the technology and the self-service area of it to fuel that? So I think using technology to really understand customers is really exciting. Ultimately, this is where my career has taken me with a lot of my work on CRM, is the customer should be able to offer a unique experience, not just by the call center, but by the website, you know, maybe even the packaging. Every single touch point throughout a customer's journey, a customer's lifecycle with a company, the science should be able to identify, measure, and understand them and to offer something different. And I want to be extra careful. This doesn't have to cross a line into creepiness, into getting to people's personal data.
Right.
It's a matter of understanding people. And when we train humans, we train them to do that. We train them to listen and have empathy. I think the ability for computers to simulate and start to learn that is really going to be transformational in the next 12 to 18 months. Where it goes beyond that with bots and things along those lines, there's a million paths just like diverging and diverging and diverging into the future. But I really think it's going to start with computers understanding humans better is the thing that everyone should keep a close eye on.
Do you think from a call center, a human being call center perspective that, you know, because we're seeing it here, that, you know, the types of questions, and I guess this is kind of an obvious thing that a lot of people talk about, but I just want to get your perspective on it too, that do you see that the contact center at Overstock kind of, when it comes to the human element, to be morphing to that more difficult type question, right? Are you guys trying to layer it even a little bit deeper than that? Not just taking the tier one stuff away, but really to kind of go for the overall experience and what that customer really wants.
So as I look at that question, I would look at the simplest cases, those easy, and unfortunately, they're the ones that get you 100 on an NPS, right? Right. We should be proactively solving them or even just preventing them from even happening in the first case, but definitely looking at proactively solve it, prevent it. It doesn't even hit your radar. The next level of difficulty, the customer may be reaching out or trying to seek assistance. Self-service should be there to help them. And once again, we can score NPS on that, but it's kind of in a different realm. It's not the agent's result. And it should still be getting smarter and smarter and more of that, leading that upper echelon of difficulty to be human powered. And it can be difficult for, I would say, one or two reasons. One being it's an edge of an edge of an edge case. So it would be too labor intensive to write the code to identify that odd event from happening. Right. So let's have a human deal with it. The other is the emotional engagement. The customer who genuinely is seeking a human interaction and needs that to maintain their relationship with the brand, we have to reserve the right that the customer deserves that. We're not trying to strip it away. This isn't a cost-saving initiative to offer that. Now, even within either of those, while that human agent is having that one-on-one bond with the customer, it doesn't mean the technology vanishes. If anything, the technology there is even more complicated because you're trying to understand a human agent and a human customer at the same time. The dashboard in front of them should be intuitive. The example I give is if my iPhone or Android or whatever updates, you don't go through a week of training on how to use it. You right. just use it. So I always tell my internal application team, if you're going to update the application, please don't tell me you have to train the agent. Because it should be designed in a way that is intuitive and frictionless. And if the closer the technology gets to being frictionless and intuitive, the more the agent doesn't have to think about the buttons they're clicking and they can listen to the conversation and have that human interaction. So as we get to that human to human world, I actually think the technology becomes harder and bigger to build. And yeah, it may mean that your NPS or whatever satisfaction score you get goes down over time because you're getting rid of the easy wins and leaving those toughest cases for the humans to deal with. And good analysts can help you kind of ferret out what the difference is and what's happening to those types of cases over time.
No, that's good stuff. And let me just ask you one quick question and then we'll kind of wrap this up. But I want to talk about NPS real quick and CSAT and what Overstock does with that. So, you know, you were talking about, you know, the interest in the analytics and in real-time sentiment and customer and agent sentiment scores. Do you see a shift away from NPS to putting more emphasis on sentiment when we get that to maybe more of a real-time deal? How do you, and I don't want to, I don't put, take you and Overstock and put them together, but, you know, how do you view that? What is going to be the main KPI going forward? Is it still going to be NPS? Are they going to be around, or do you think sentiment kind of starts to sweep things away a little bit?
I'm fascinated by that question. I Overstock is a very deeply NPS driven organization, and it's also a very deeply quantitatively driven organization. Over time, if we come up with a metric that beats NPS in identifying the future behavior of that customer, their lifetime value, their repeat visit rate, that if we find something stronger, we are more than willing to say it's the winner. Sentiment, mm-hmm. That natural language side of it, may be the way of doing that. I'm launching various post-contact one-question surveys to start asking different questions to see, is there a different way of wording the question that maybe correlates more towards understanding the customer better? So I believe we will have NPS for the foreseeable future as a benchmark by which to compare new metrics to. And ultimately, we're really just trying to identify what's right for the customer. And however we get the most truth out of that, we'll go that path. I'm hopeful. I would say I am optimistic we will find a question or a metric that beats NPS in identifying the customer intent, because frankly, right now, NPS is a survey. So you're getting a right. sample of customers, which is biased by the sample who chooses to fill out a survey. It's open to interpretation. I personally, and I'm just a horrible example of this, I don't normally recommend things to people. I don't walk around talking about which gas station I shop at.
Right, so
I would always give a five on every gas station, right? Even if I love the gas station. So finding a question that more gets to the heart of the customer, or a way of measuring the customer that gets more to the heart of how the company performed and how the individual human agent or the customer care team performed, is an ideal goal and a way to look for the long-term future of it. But I don't have that answer right now. And I think that's kind of the quest that we're looking for.
Yeah. And it's an awesome topic, right? Because it gets energies going both ways on it for sure. But all right. Hey, last question before I let you go. It is 3 days before Christmas. Are you ready? Are you still looking? I mean, you got a pretty good website to go to if you need something. Where are you at with Christmas? You good?
Personally, yeah. I got the logistical. Once again, remember, I go back long old school logistical nightmare scared out of me this year with all the warnings about Shipageddon and carrier delays and stuff. So I was wrapping up all of my Christmas shopping well before Black Friday. To assure it was here in time. Also, there's no need to compound my issue by me being one more guy who is waiting for something on December 23rd. So I'm looking pretty good. You know, it's always a coin flip whether or not I bought my wife the right thing, but I definitely got it all in the house by now.
Right. No, well, hey, Jimmy, listen, I really appreciate it. This is really good stuff, and it's awesome to talk to, you know, to other contact center leaders out there. You are definitely a leader, especially when it comes to not only the customer experience space, but understanding the technology of it, understanding the marketing aspect of things. The insights that you just gave there are really interesting. Something that I've been, you know, really trying to add to the podcast, and I think the listeners will really dig this episode. So again, I really do appreciate it. Thank you so much for joining.
Thanks a lot, Thomas. I appreciate it. Happy holidays to you, your family, and to your entire team out there.
All right. You too, Jimmy. Thank you guys so much. And guys, that's going to wrap us up for this episode of Advice from a Call Center Geek. So make sure that you check us out on LinkedIn, check us out on our Facebook community. Also, we have our texting SMS community that we have been kind of talking about ad nauseum here. So again, thank you guys for joining. Have an awesome Christmas 3 days away, and I'll talk to you guys next week.